I'm Linda Van Valkenburg.
And I'm Ron Gore. And you're listening to the Co-Parent Academy podcast. Okay, so Linda, we have a Reddit post here that is, I'm going to say, falsely titled. It says non-confrontational co-parent. So non-confrontational co-parent.
Have I ever wrongly titled the real one?
Yeah, I think we see a little bit into the subconscious of the person by how they title it, and then we compare it to the body, and we're like, well, we see what's going on. So in this one, he says, mine, he's a 40-year-old male. His ex-wife, and she's 41, is generally nice, and generally they get along. They stick to the kids, an 11-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl, the custody schedule, and when one of us wants to or has to travel with or without the kids, we generally agree and things are good. So far, so good. However, he says, it's impossible to talk to her about things of substance. Like during peak COVID, she kept taking the kids to restaurants and I had to be pretty rude to her just to get her to have a discussion. Not my proudest moment. This is our non-confrontational co-parent. She still lets the kids sleep in her bed. She doesn't ever seem to tell them no or generally discipline them. Latest is our son was, maybe, posting homophobic videos from a TikTok account he shares with his neighbor. I mentioned this to the ex and she just completely ignored it. There's little I can do about him being allowed to go to that neighbor's house or what they do there. I'll definitely talk to my son and I'll probably end up talking to the neighbor's parents again. Not the first time I've talked to them about this. But how do I get the ex to engage in actual co-parenting without causing resentment?
And whose resentment is he talking about? His own or hers?
Because there's, right. I know there's just a bunch.
Yeah.
All right, Linda, what are your thoughts about our non-confrontational co-parent who's very rude to his wife when she doesn't listen to him or his ex?
Well, it's real normal, I think, that there are, which is why there are, you know, co-parenting therapists and parenting coordinators. It's extremely normal when people are separated and divorced that they have different ideas on how children should be disciplined or where children should sleep or what they should do on their devices and so forth. COVID is another whole situation that I know we both heard a lot about over the last couple
sure
of years. You know, one person was taking it very seriously, another person was not at all, or, you know, the politics got into it with each side and so forth. And so it that has even had to be handled by the court in many cases, I'm sure that you saw.
Yeah, although normally I think the best approach I saw the courts do was to delegate a parent to make decisions related to COVID instead of getting into the weeds on particular COVID decisions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. And there are some things here, like, you know, where the kids are co-sleeping with her at the girl is 10, the boy is 11. That's getting kind of old to be doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, her not being able to say no or any kind of discipline. She might not have been the disciplinary type when they were, you know, she might have been more passive when they were together and he was more the disciplinarian. So it's real typical too, as we talked about in our discipline course, about you know, who does what now that you're separated. One tends to be more autocratic and one more passive in those situations. At their ages, he may even, you know, if he's pushing the stronger discipline, you may even set off a resist-refuse situation here with these kids before long.
Right, meaning that if the children have much more freedom to do whatever they want at mom's house, they may start to express a preference, well, I want to stay at mom's house because that's where I get to do what I want to do instead of being with me and old dad. And you'll hear, well, dad's mean.
Right.
And it just means that he's actually setting and enforcing boundaries.
Right. And then you could cause resentment with the children as well.
Right.
You're talking about what kind of resentment you're causing. it actually kind of surprised me to see that he was taking it in hand to talk to the neighbor kid's parents.
Right, his ex's neighbor's parents.
Yeah, that's kind of unusual.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine being the neighbor and being like, wait, who are you? Why are you talking to me?
Yeah, exactly. And it, once again, we get back to there are so many things that kids will look at, post, be in their history, and one parent is monitoring it constantly and the other parent never looks at it and really acts like they don't care what is going on there.
Right. Although TikTok that's one that, I mean, people should stay, in my mind, should stay away from. Oh my goodness.
Me too.
Their terms of service, you basically give them your DNA, your social security number, and your blood type.
All right. And there's so much inappropriate content.
So he says it's impossible to talk to her about things of substance. I wonder if it's just a difference in what she thinks is substantive and what he thinks is substantive.
And he does start out by saying she's generally nice and we generally get along. So I don't understand where the disconnect happens.
That's why I think there's a universe of topics where they agree. And she's nice and engaging with him on those topics. And then there's outside of that universe, there are things that he thinks are important. And he doesn't think they're important and she won't engage with them on them.
And as the children do get older, I mean, they're right there at the tween stage. And as they do get older, some of those things that maybe weren't that substantive early on or weren't a thing at all when they were younger children and parents knew where they were all the time, now suddenly it is a lot bigger deal.
And that co-sleeping to me is a problem.
Yes.
I mean, co-sleeping at 11. I mean, do you have a bed with all three kids in it? And the boy's 11?
The girl's 10.
The girl's 10. That just, to me, does not seem like the best idea.
Right.
It's not inherently that there's something wrong or gross about it. It's just not helpful, I think.
Well, and what would the authorities think if it was a dad co-sleeping with a 10 and 11-year-old?
You know, sure.
That would be looked at differently, I think.
You're exactly right. And what's so funny is I didn't even think about that, but you're exactly right. That would be different. And, you know, when a kid gets to be 11, 12, 13, and kids are entering puberty earlier and earlier, you know, bodies do things that they didn't used to do, and it's just awkward.
Well, and they are getting more to that. I would think the 11-year-old boy already would be there, that he wants his own space. He wants his own room. He wants, to be able to do what he wants to in his own room. So it's time.
So from my perspective, Dad is not being non-confrontational. He's already lost his cool once. He said he had to be rude to her and it's not his proudest moment. So I'm envisioning some yelling or cussing or name calling. So he is being confrontational.
Right.
And he says he wants to do it without causing resentment, but he already feels resentment.
Right.
And I imagine Mom does too.
She probably does about the COVID thing.
Right. And I'm sure she's heard from the neighbors that Dad has talked to her.
That was my first thought too. They probably know each other well if the children are that good friends. And so they're like immediately calling her going, he's been here again.
Right. Exactly. So, and you know, this may be another situation where he's blind to the resentment that she may be feeling.
Right.
Because to him, he's in the right. There's an air of sanctimony in what he writes that makes me think he's pretty blind to her feelings about it.
Exactly.
If this were my guy, I think I would tell him, look, man, you feel like you're not being confrontational, but you're failing. You feel like there's not resentment, but you're wrong. So it's time to do something about it. So you can't continue on, you know, just half-heartedly addressing these things in a way that seems appropriate to you at the time. Either you need to get a parenting coordinator in place or you need to get, you know, something added to the order that deals with these issues that are recurring, because it's only going to get worse. This situation is not going to get better because the kids are going to get older. There are going to be more of these issues with boundaries and how and when to expand the boundaries and differences between the households that just need to be addressed.
Yes, I definitely think he needs something outside himself to try to that parenting coordinator or co-parenting therapist will also be a middle ground perspective on, okay, which one of these things is a big deal, which isn't.
Right. And, you know, that's, I'm glad you said that, because that also comes back to the other thing that I'll tell my client is, how much would you be willing to pay to deal with this issue? And how many hours of work would you be willing to work to pay for the issue? Because, you know, let's say that your lawyer costs $300 an hour, and let's say that he has a good job, and let's say he makes $50 an hour. He has to work 6 hours for 1 hour of his attorney's time. And if you're going to take this back to court or do something with it, you know, let's say you're looking at 10 hours, that's $3,000, which is, if you're making $50 an hour, what is that, 60 hours of your work? Are you willing to work 60 hours to deal with these issues? If you're not, then they're not that big of a deal and you just need to let it go.
And even when it comes to parenting coordinators, what I often tell people to do is don't rush in there just to, even though they're usually somehow splitting a PC's time,
right.
It still is silly to rush in there for one thing, unless it's life-threatening.
Right. You
know? But if it's issues like this, I know he probably felt like the COVID was very life-threatening for his child at that point. But if it's the other kinds of things, those are all things that if you add them up and you go, okay, that's enough things for us to talk about to a PC for an hour.
Right.
So let's go ahead and go and knock them all out at once.
Very good.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to leave questions, comments, or concerns, please email podcast@coparentacademy.com. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.